promise of joy that we read from Isaiah and throughout the Holy Scriptures is not a promise that is dependent on what we are feeling at any particular day and moment in time, or even in terms of what's going on in our world. The promise of joy that is offered to us is of a spiritual nature. It is very much connected to how we are living in the world, but it is not dependent on what is happening to us. It is dependent on our response to what is happening to us. And our theology is clear that that Advent is happening or is able to happen any and every moment in our lives. The Advent of the Lord means our perception of the Lord, our awareness of the divine in our lives. And when we have that awareness, we are able to respond to whatever is going on, no matter how difficult or how challenging, from a place of love and peace. In our lives, we have glimmerings of that love and that peace. And just as the Advent journey is not over in a snap, though most kids would wish it would be so, Christmas would be here right now, just as that Advent journey doesn't happen in a snap, neither does the unfolding of our lives happen in a snap, and neither is it a smooth process. John the Baptist, what a life devoted to extraordinary faith, extraordinary trust. And yet even he found himself cut off, shut off and alone in a dark prison cell. And even he was allowed to ask, "Are you the one? Are you the one, Lord?" God is giving all of us permission to have our faith falter at times and even to crumble into dust. John the Baptist represents, from a Swedenborgian perspective, a part of our spiritual formation that's in the early stages of development. So as strong and clear and true as it is, that part of ourselves is just the beginning of what is possible to us. Jesus represents the absolute highest pinnacle of what it is possible to be a human being. So when are these prophecies going to be fulfilled? The ones we read about last Sunday and the ones we read about today. You know, again, in our lives, when does joy happen? If any one of you stopped and thought about one day, even yesterday in your life, I expect you could find moments when you really felt good. And I expect probably without too much searching, you could find moments when you really didn't feel good at all. All just in one day, let alone in one week or in lifetime. So when does it happen? How many of you read Joe Simpson's book, The Void, or saw the PBS special on The Void? I'm the only one. Very briefly, Joe Simpson went climbing in the Andes with a friend named Simon. They were mountaineers. They went ice climbing. They climbed to the very top of a very tall peak. And they were elated. They had planned this trip for years. They reached the top. They did it. Then they started on their way down the mountain, across a glacier, back to their base camp. On the way down, Joe Simpson fell a great distance, broke his leg very badly. He thought Simon would leave him to die on the mountain because there would be no way that the two of them could get back. But Simon didn't leave him. They devised a system where Simon would lower him by a rope, distance of the rope, 80 feet or something. And then when Simon would give a tug, that would mean he was at the bottom of the end of the rope. And they went down the mountain quite a ways that way until at one point when Joe was being lowered down, he went over a cliff. And then was just left hanging in midair at the end of this rope. Simon held onto that rope for over an hour, waiting for the pressure of it to be released and to get that little tug, knowing that it was safe for him to begin the procedure all over. That never happened because Joe's just hanging there. Joe says that he knew that if he stayed hanging in the air like that, that he would come night, freeze to death. Simon did something that was very, very difficult, and for something which he's being criticized for by mountaineers around the world. Do you know what he did? He cut the rope. Joe fell, I have my distances wrong, I'm sure, but I think he fell about 40 feet down. He had no idea how far down it was. Fell 40 feet down, smashing down on his bad leg. Looked up and realized he was now in a crevice with no possible way of getting back up. Simon looked for him, saw the fall that he had taken, couldn't find him, and went back, began his descent back to base camp. Joe spent the night on a ledge of snow in this crevice. The next morning, when's Advent? When's Advent? The next morning, he looked at his options. No way of going back up. Only possibility for survival, and the chances were extraordinarily slim. The only possibility was to go down into the utter darkness of this crevasse. He said it was the greatest, most difficult thing he ever did to lower him as a mountaineer, to lower himself on a rope into utter, utter darkness. Interesting, he said that he was brought up in church, but he said he didn't think about prayer and he didn't think about God during this time. And he said afterwards that if he had, that he probably would have done nothing because he would have thought that God would somehow save him. From hearing his story, I think that his prayer was his actions. And his sense of faith in moving forward with absolutely no idea and little sense of what was going to happen to him, that was an extraordinary act of faith, even though he didn't frame it in those terms. He lowered himself into the crevasse, and he went down, I believe it was another 40 or 60 feet, and then landed on what he thought was the bottom of this crevasse. And he looked and he saw at some distance from him and up, light. He says it's the most beautiful thing he has ever seen. When's Advent? So, he saw before him his next challenge. And this is how it came to be that he made his journey, was seeing the next challenge. He saw his next challenge was to get to where he could begin to climb up toward that light. And he started to crawl across what he thought was the bottom of the cave, but it wasn't the bottom. It happened to be just a little big pile of snow. And as he crawled across it, it started to fall to the bottom that was far, far deeper than where he was. He crawled ever so carefully and ever so gently across that distance until he made it again to solid ice. Then he set his next goal, to get up maybe this far, and then this far again, and then this far again. Beyond all of his expectations, the moment came when he pulled his body out of that crevasse and lay in the sunlight and just wept. When's Advent? He doesn't know how long he lay there in the snow, full of joy, until he realized that he had a broken leg, that he had a glacier to cross, and miles of mountain to climb down before he would even reach the base camp that he had shared with Simon. And at this point, this is days ago. Would Simon even be there? The joy of Advent is not dependent on what's happening in our life in any particular moment. Otherwise, we could say, and even in Joe Simpson's story, okay, now it's Advent. Now it's not. Now it is. Now it's not. Now it is. Now it's not. You know, that's the temptation in our life to say, okay, God's here now, not now. Yes, now, not now. There is not a moment that God is not present with us. So when are these prophecies fulfilled? They are fulfilled when we let in heaven's joy. Each and every moment that we let that joy in, that prophecy is fulfilled. When is this prophecy fulfilled collectively, though? Not just on the individual level, but collectively for all of us. We are on that journey. We as a humanity are on that journey. And there are little glimmerings of it all the time. This week I read a news story about the director of the United Nations Millennium Project, Jeffrey Sachs. There was a meeting a year ago with macro economists and leaders in the World Health Organization. And they got together and they met and struggled together, looking at the needs of humanity to be fed, and looking at the economics of our world, and looking at the technology that we have, the understanding that we have, and the ability to work together. And Jeffrey Sachs wrote this. We are the first generation in human history that could actually bring about an end to extreme poverty on this planet. We have the resources. We have the know-how. We have the communication. He continues, whether or not we will seize this glorious opportunity, this historic chance to fundamentally transform the human condition, depends on the strength of our human will and on our willingness to do the right thing. In the last 500 years, our knowledge and technology has grown extraordinarily. And now, if we can believe these great thinkers, we have the ability to end some of the worst suffering on this planet. There's another step we need to take to fulfill this. We need to want to. Like I was telling the children, does God want us all to be happy and joyful? Yes. Every one of us? Yes. But God needs our help to make that become a reality. God needs us to want everyone in this world to have a life worth living. We have the know-how. Advent is about the heart how. Amen.